Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. We're going to start on the final line of Yud Amud Beis, where the Gemara begins, Tanya Nami Gabi Avodah Zarah Ki Hai Gavna. What are we referring to? A few lines earlier, we brought a story that on Chol HaMoed, someone was owed money by someone else, and that someone who is the creditor, who wants to get repaid, asked Rav Ashi, am I allowed to go and ask for payment today on Chol HaMoed? Would that violate the rules and the spirit of Chol HaMoed? So he told them that since the debtors are available today and you can petition them and request payment, and other days they are difficult to get hold of because they're running in all directions, it becomes like a Meleches Dabra Aveid, and therefore you are allowed to go and ask them for payment. So even though perhaps otherwise it's not within the spirit of Yomtov, but Meleches Dabra Aveid means that anything that if you don't do it now, you may have a capital loss. If you don't get repaid your loan today, you may not get repaid for another year. Maybe you might not get paid ever. So yes, you are allowed to go and approach them on Chol HaMoed. So based on that, the Gemara says, I have a parallel situation. The Gabi Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Tanyam Gabi Avodah Zarah Ki Hagavna. Holchin Tap of the Yomit Liyarid Shel Akum. You're allowed to go to the marketplace of the Goyim. And in particular, we're talking about Biyom Chagam or close to Yom Chagam. Yom Chagam means their holidays. You're allowed to go and buy from them. There are two potential issues over here. The person is going to the marketplace to go and buy some major acquisition. We're not talking about buying tomatoes. We're talking about buying an animal, buying a slave, buying a shivcha, buying a house, field, a kerem, etc. And after that, going to their local courthouse to have it all notarized and to have it stamped. And he has full title to any one of these items that he purchased. So number one, you have an issue. Before their chagim, we don't want to give them parnasa, because if we give them money after that, when it comes the day of their holiday, they go into their church and they say to Yoizel, oh, thank you very much. And they say Halil and Shira to their gods, thanking them for giving them this money. So that's one issue. Issue number two is going into Archois. You're not supposed to go into Archois Shel Akum. Archois are courthouses or courts, because you're supposed to go to Ar Bati Dinam. You're not supposed to go to Archois, to courts, to secular courts. However, the Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah says that you are allowed to do these two things. Number one, because the Goyish marketplace is not open the whole year, especially to get these major purchases. So this is something which is, if you will, similar to a Dovra Aveid. This is the opportunity. If I don't do it now, I may not get this opportunity in the future. And you're allowed to go into the Archois, even though normally you cannot, but that's the only way that you're Matzal Miyodim. That's the only way to go and prove your title to any one of these items. Because if you don't get it notarized and verified and confirmed, etc., in the Archois, then after that, the Goy may deny that you bought them. So under those circumstances, you're allowed to. So the Gemara is therefore bring a parallel, just like over here on Chol HaMoed, it's a Dovra Aveid. There too, by the purchase in the marketplace of all of these items, it's a Dovra Aveid. Yes.
Not necessarily, because if you lent someone money, then there's a potential loss that you won't be repaid. But here, yeah, you cannot have lost something you never had to begin with.
That's 100% accurate. The major focus of the Gemara is on the Archois aspect. What right do you have to go to their courts and allow them to go and set up title on these items, since you're not supposed to go to secular courts? You're only supposed to go to a religious court, to a best. Therefore, the Gemara says, because you have no other choice. Why don't you have any other choice? Because if you don't go and sign up title on a particular house, for instance, in their court system, you know what's going to happen? You're going to want to move into the house, and the Goy is going to say, why is it yours? It belongs to me. If you can go and show title documents, which are certified by the chief notarizer and verifier of the court, then everybody will say, oh, you must have bought it. So therefore, it is a Dovra Aveid. You'd otherwise lose a major capital asset. Zogimor Bait, third line from the top. Rav, we return now to Cholamoy. Rav Shor Lachia Bar Ashi Lamigdal Oihari B'Choyle Domiyadim. Rav Shora permitted Chiya Bar Ashi, Lemigdal Oihari. Lemigdal Oihari says Rashi means to go and manufacture and put together a trap to go and catch fish, a fish trap. He allowed him to go and make such a fish trap, the Chol Dumiyad, my time, because Masa had you do. Apparently, you don't need to be a great professional to be able to put together a fish trap. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry can go and put it together, so then that's okay. But to put together a trap, which is really now a net, this net is for purposes of catching oifois for birds, that's awesome. If you've ever been in this line of work, you know that fish traps, anybody can do, but to go and make an effective net to go and capture birds, that already requires a great deal of professionalism, and therefore that is not permitted on Chol HaMoed. Rav Yehuda Shora L'Ami Tanura. In other Gemaras it says Tanura, which means the person's name was Ami and his business was manufacturing Tanurim. Tanurim is an oven or a stove. And he permitted him, L'Migdal Tanuri, to go and build and construct such a Tanur on Chol HaMoed, which, by the way, is not a great chidush because we had that in the Mishnah yesterday. If you go back to Yud Omid Aleph in the Mishnah on the bottom of the Omid, Ma'midim tanur v'kirayim v'reichayim v'moyed. What means ma'midim, says Rashi? She'oisim oisim l'chadchila. Can bring the kamon. You're allowed to l'chadchila go and build such a tanner on Chol HaMoed. So, says Yimar, that's what he permitted him to do. Rav Yehuda shor l'ami tanurav, to go and make such a tanner on Chol HaMoed. U'l'rav bar asmi l'migdal mahulta. And he allowed Rav bar asmi to go and make a mahulta. Rashi said mahulta means a napa. Napa means a sieve on Chol HaMoed. And Migmoris Kasha is on the first part on manufacturing the tanner. But Tony Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Vishavin She'ein Goydlin Tanner Lechadchil. You're not allowed to go and make a tanner Lechadchil on Chol HaMoed. And here he permitted it Lechadchil. What's going on? It depends which Chol HaMoed we're talking about. Are we talking about Chol HaMoed Sukkis or Chol HaMoed Pesach? What difference does it make? Says Rashi, because for a tanner to be effective, it has to sit and dry for several days. It's not for at least a day or two or three. It's not enough to go and just put together the earth and the clay and make together a tanner. It's a ganze melucha, which requires drying out in the sun. From Pesach and on, Rashi says the assumption is that it's hot weather, and so therefore, if you manufacture this tanner on day one of Chol HaMoed, by the end of Chol HaMoed, it'll already be functional, usable, and great. Masha'engen, if you're talking about during Sukkot typically it begins the rainy season. It's already cooler, and therefore, if you're going to go and manufacture the tanner on the first day of Chol HaMoed, in all likelihood, it's not going to be fully functional until after Yontif, because you have to give it a chance to dry. So you're now let it go and make something for after Yontif. You're only allowed to make something to be able to use it now on Chol HaMoed for Yontif. Zoki Mishnah Baita.
Is a business contradicting our Mishnah? I mean, point out the Mishnah is Ma'amidin. And here is Ein Ma'amidin L'Chachila. I mean, Ein Golden. Like, what's
it's Tony, that's a bright.
Okay.
Zok the Mishnah, Oysen Makal Gag Ule Marpeset, Ma'ase Hejit, Avaloi Ma'ase Uman. The person has a Gag. Gag, of course, is a roof. Marpeset, everybody knows in Eretz Yisrael, Marpeset is a balcony or it's a terrace. Porch. And I'm sorry?
Porch.
A porch, very good. Porch usually has the sound of a porch on the ground. You could have a porch, of course, on the second or third floor. We usually call it a terrace, but if you're happy with porch, I'm happy with that as well. Anyway, a person needs to make the Ma'aka. The Mefarshim talk about whether we're talking the maka that is required min ha-Torah, or we're talking about that the person made a maka that wasn't required. In other words, some Mefarshim say that if we're talking about the maka that's required min ha-Torah, then you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. There's nothing to talk about because that's a chiyum and that's a mitzvah. So some of the Mefarshim say we're not talking about that type of maka which is required. We're talking about more of, I guess, an ornamental type of maka to make it look pretty and nice or whatever, but of course it gives protection too. So you're allowed to make a maka gagal mepeset masa hedyut. Once again, if you're not doing it with the full professionalism, avalei masa uman. Give me an example of a masa hedyut. The Gemara will give us two examples. Yes, Hashem, we'll see as soon as we hit think about it, as soon as we start thinking about it. And the Mishnah continues, Shofen es ha-sedokim. What happens if, for instance, in your tanur or somewhere else there are sedokim, there are cracks, and you need to plaster those cracks, Rashi says, Shem tanur, and you need to go and plaster them, otherwise the tanur might fall apart, or at least might not be an effective functional oven. So you're allowed to go and shmir it, put plaster on it to go and fill up the holes. After you put the plaster in, you're allowed to also go and use what's called a roller. You roll it on top to go and smear it nicely and to put it in place. And not only can you use such a roller, you're allowed to even be yad uberega. You're allowed to go and smear it with your own hand or with your foot to go and smear the plaster in so that it should do a good job. The Gemara is going to ask shortly if you're allowing them to use a roller, which sounds like the normal way of doing things, then of course he can do a biyad bereng. What's the chiddush? We'll see you met him in the Gemara momentarily. Avaloi b'machlotayim. What says machlotayim? Rashi says machlotayim is a block of wood which is in the form of a foot. Apparently this is something that's a professional use. And this foot-shaped piece of block of wood, they would go and press it onto the cement or the lime or the whatever plaster that he used. And that would be used to go and press in into the sedokim, into the holes, into the cracks. And that's considered, says Rashi, even a greater maisa uman than the roller, than the magela that we spoke about a moment ago. So this is such a maisa uman, dos nicht, that you cannot use during Chol HaMoed. And now we have a bunch of other things which revolve around a door. We have hatsir, v'hatsinor, v'hakoyrim, v'hamanu, v'hamafteach, shenishberu, misaknon, b'moyed, v'vajli iskabalas, malachtei, b'moyed. Now, a tsir is the pivot. A pivot is on the bottom of doors. The pivot would be placed into a hole in the ground. It was still in most doors nowadays, of course, have hinges on the side. But even today, when you come into either a large shul or to a large dining hall, they typically have two doors, not just one door. And what keeps the doors from not going back and forth, the swinging back and forth, is because at the bottom of the door, there's a little bit of a pivot. You can go and sometimes there's a latch and you can go and raise it and then you can lower it. And then in the ground, there's a hole. And that's what, when you want to keep the door in place, you go and lower the pivot from the door into that hole in the ground. So the tzir is called the pivot, and the tzinor is the hole. The hakoira. The hakoira is the on top, that's the lintel on top of the door. The hamanul is referring to the lock of the door. The mafteach is the key. So if any of these things break, you're allowed to go and fix them on Chol HaMoed. But says the Mishnah, don't be mechamen to do it on Chol HaMoed, meaning that if they were already broken from before Yom Tov, the person says, I'm just too busy now. But Chol HaMoed, I got plenty of time. I don't go to work, so I'll have a chance to do it then. No, you can't do them on Chol HaMoed. If it broke over Yom Tov, that's a different story. But if it was already broken from before, don't fix it on Chol HaMoed. B'chol kivoshin shu yochol lechol mihen b'moyed koifshin. The word kivoshin over here is referring to pickling foods, whether it's vegetables, like making pickles, or whether it's pickling fish, as we'll see in the Gemara. Anything that you want to go and preserve and pickle, that's okay, as long as you can still use it on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov. But if you're pickling something and putting it away for 6 months from now, then you might as well do it after Yom Tov. So, Gemara, we started off the Mishnah saying that you can go and make such an amateurish ma'aka on Chol HaMoed, but not a professional one. Hey, chidomi masahed. So give me an example. And this is basically a repeat of a Gemara we had a few blad ago. Rav Yosef Omer behutza v'dafna, v'masisa tona, tzor b'tzror, v'ein etoch patit. Rav Yosef says the way you manufacture it is behutza v'dafna. Behutza v'dafna is a very, very flimsy type of machitza, which is made out of palm fronds, meaning from the leaves of a lulav. And many of you have seen, probably all of you have used, when it comes sukkah time, when we take in our hands the arba minim, so typically you have the lulav, and then on the bottom, something which they call a koshiko, and in the koshiko you put in your hadasim and aravis on the two sides. What is that koshiko made out of? It's made out of lulav leaves that somebody has woven and interwoven and made it such a nice akosha. So here too, we're talking about such a machitza, which was made out of lulav leaves that were nicely woven together. That's the chutza part. The dafna part is that they had like little poles made out of very flimsy material, like made out of reeds and things of that nature, to go and put the partition of the lulav leaves in place. Because having lulav leaves is very nice, but how do you put it up? So they would attach it with such another type of reed of some sort called a dafna. Anyway, that you can do in Chol HaMoed, no problem. As he said, in the price, it says, you know what, Tor B'Tzror, you can go and put up bricks. However, when you talk about it, but don't put in cement. The cement, you'll wait until after Yom Tov. So that's, of course, also Masa Hedrit. What's the value of bricks without the mortar, without the cement? But Masa Hedrit you can do, not a Masa Uman. So to motivate, Shofar Sadokin Makina Isan bin Magela. You let it go and smear it with a Magela with this roller. Frank Tumara, Hashtag Magela Amrishari. If you're allowed to use a roller, which is certainly much more professional than using Yad Beregel, the Yad Beregel, oh yeah, then of course you can go and do it with your hand if you want to just smear it with your hand or with your foot. What's the chidush? But Tumara, you're right, Hochikoma, Shofan Asadokim and Magilan Uisan. What the Gemara is telling us is, do not use a magela, and certainly don't use a machlatayim. But what you can do is you can attempt to go and smear the cement or the lime, whatever, into that hole, the plaster. You can do it with your hand and with your foot, as if you were using a magela. A magela, you presumably have to bang a couple of times, you roll it back and forth. So instead of using the roller, use your hand and use your foot and do the same type of mechanics as the magela, but don't use the magela itself because that is prohibited, as well as machlatayim, which is even greater, more professional, or because of the inyan that you have to do it metashinoi, metamasa hedyik, and not a masa umar. Back to our Mishnah. Mishnah says, atzir v'atzina, the pivot and the hole in the floor, v'akoyra and the lintel on top, v'anamanel and the lak, v'amafteach and the kish, and ishbru v'sakna m'may. What is this referring to? This is referring to, says Rashi, Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a whole bunch of gzeiros in his day and age. And one of the gzeiros that he made was that in Yerushalayim, when it comes Chol HaMoed, we don't want a lot of commotion, a lot of noise, and therefore all of the blacksmiths, good, should be closed, and also other industries that make a lot of commotion, a lot of noise, because we don't want to go and disturb the peace and tranquility of Chol HaMoed.
When was Yochanan around? Just to give us
he was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, so certainly he was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, but I'm saying, can you give a net like
I'm not one? Sure whether the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, probably the second one. Barry would probably have more information if he doesn't want to share it with you, that shows his modesty and humility. But anyway. Yes, would you like to say?
No, it's just we have Shimon HaTzaddik was 80 years, and then we had the other Kohen Gadolim in this Beit Sheni were very brief. So he might even have been the first place of Mikdash.
I mean,
we had a Gemara that said.
It's Yuma Daftes.
There's a codex.
Exactly. Anyway, so the Gemara tells us in the time of Yechim Kohen Gadol, do you know Yair Goldstein?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, well, he used to daven here, and he davens often at the Jewish Center. He used to be our local historian. Whenever we had Gemara, he would always tell us exactly when, where. So if you can find him, you can...
he also davens at OZ sometimes.
Exactly. Anyway, once you meet him the first time, you'll remember. But getting back to the Gemara says, until his day, there was a lot of noise in Chol HaMoed. He was goyzer to stop. No, if a person is working on any of these things, it makes a lot of noise. So, Bazoi, how is our Mishnah permitted? After all, Rabbi Yechim Kohen Gadol said, that's it, no more. The obvious answer is that our Mishnah is talking about pre-gezeira of Rabbi Yechim Kohen Gadol, and the Bryce over there is talking about post-gezeira. And I'm going to give that as one of the tirutz. But in the meantime, Gemara says, how can they go and make such a commotion going and banging on all these things in Chol HaMoed in Yerushalayim? But Gemara ad yom in become the Eilech Loi. Until his day, they made all that noise. But after he made his Gzeira, that was it. So how does our Mishnah permit it? It really depends whether you're talking about a blacksmith or whether you're talking about a carpenter. A carpenter works with these items when they are wood. Wood doesn't make so much noise. However, if you're a blacksmith and you clang on metal, metal, of course, makes much more noise than the wood.
According to this, Yochanan Kordel was time of Chashmonaim.
Oh, Shaitis, you have the answer. Time of Chashmonaim. It's Chanukah period. That helps you, right?
The Festival of Lights.
Exactly. And this is very enlightening. Good. Anyway, so therefore, it depends on what type of work you're doing. So Rashi said, when we're talking about the carpenter, he's not working with a metal lock. Most of us, I think, know what metal locks look like. A wooden lock sounds very strange, but of course, yes, of course, we don't have them nowadays. I guess most people don't have them. Maybe some people do. But in the times of Chazal, there was an industry and there were wooden locks. So if it's a wooden lock, then you're allowed to go and fix that on Chol HaMoed, says Rashi, because it doesn't make so much noise. Mashenkin, if you're fixing a lock which is made out of metal, oh, there's much more noise in the blacksmith shop than in the carpenter shop. Maskud Rav Chizda, Yoim Rekol Rabba Oseh Kol Zutra Shari. Rav Chizda wasn't happy with that teretz because he says it's like Nasata Dvarecha L'Shi'urit, which means you have to really have some sort of objective standard. You say, if you make a lot of noise, you know, a little bit of noise is okay. What's a lot and what's a little? To some people, even the smallest amount of noise is already threatening and deafening. And for some people, they go to chasanas, they've heard, you know, 100 cylinder decimals or whatever at a chasana. So nothing is considered to be a kolorab. Everything is considered to be goodish.
When does the factor of mesukan fall away? Because if a person's lock is broken, then his house is open to pizzas and to ganavim.
Mm-hmm.
And we allowed him to fix the wall so that he shouldn't have people coming into his home.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't let him fix his lock if it makes too much noise.
So what our Gemara is telling us is you have to do it in such a way that leaves the peace and tranquility of Chol HaMoed as intact as possible. Just like all of these things we talk about making with a Masa Hedget. Why don't you do it with a Maisa Uman? We have to weigh the concerns, like those that you are referring to, against the fact that it's Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is not Yontif, but it's close to Yontif. So we have to throw, there's a bit of a balancing act over here. See, Mara says, if you can go and use a wooden lock, use a wooden lock so it won't make so much noise, and that should be water. That should be fine. The fact that your lock is broken, then go and perhaps you have to buy a new one instead of fixing this one on Chol HaMoed. No, do something else that doesn't involve making this clang, 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 big noise. And what he's saying is, if you're distinguishing between big noise and small noise, then I don't understand. Doesn't you have to even objective standard what's big and what's small? And therefore, Elamar of Chizda Lekash of Magli Habechatzini. If you are cutting the lock or any of these items that we're talking about with a magli, what size magli? Magli is usually a sickle. But here Rashi says the magli that we're talking about is a very large saw. And that large saw, loimoilid kolaklum, it is almost totally silent. You hardly hear a whimper or a whisper from the person that is sawing these types of items. And therefore, that's permissible. Of a chatzini, however, something that does make noise, that would be prohibited. So we're not distinguishing between big noise and small noise. We're talking about virtually no noise at all and something which makes a lot of noise. Yes?
So they specify here Birushalayim. So could I deduce from that outside of Jerusalem, the noise factor isn't as important? I mean, the fact that they specify Jerusalem.
No, you're raising a very important issue. What our Gemara is telling us is that Yechon Kohen Gadol made this takana not to hear any blacksmith banging in Yerushalayim. So yes, outside Yerushalayim, one would be able to, but nevertheless, it would have to be in such a type of setting that it wouldn't make that much commotion, because we don't want to disturb the beauty and tranquility of Chol HaMoed. But the specific gzeira was made in Yerushalayim.
Ariel's left is a Yerushalmi.
Oh, now we know.
Everyone was in Yerushalayim. So outside of Yerushalayim, there wasn't that many people.
Did you hear what Barry said now?
Yeah, in Yerushalayim, people are living on top of each other.
No, so. But everyone collects Yerushalayim for the Moed, for Chol Moed, anywhere.
It's Aliyah Leregel. Everybody goes up to the base of Mikdash.
There's not much blacksmithing happening outside of Jerusalem.
Anyway.
Unless the women are...
And most of the women came along because the women... And the Tzemach B'Chagecha is referring to Ishtecha, that it's a mitzvah to go be mesameach a person's wife. And so many of the women came along. Why did they come along? Because they wanted to go, and the husband is supposed to have a simchas yontif. Part of the simcha, exactly. A big party. Rapapa gives the easy answer, and he says, you're bringing me a raya from another Mishnah that talks about Rabbi Yechon Kohen God making the Gzeira. Our Mishnah is talking about pre- Yochanan HaGadol's times, and so therefore in his time, pre those times, there was no such gzeir. And that's why, in fact, Yochanan Kohen Gadol had to make the gzeir. And the other Mishnah that we quoted by Yochanan Kohen Gadol was talking about the Achid gzeir. Ravashi Amar HaRab Yehuda HaRab Yoisi. It's a machlokes. Yom Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Man Tana Shimi Moed B'Dovra Ove Toloi Kirab Yoisi. What is all of this about? And Yetz Hashem, as we get to the Omet Aleph, we will see Rab Yoisi figures very prominently in the Mishnah. If you want to take just a quick look on to Yud Aleph on the days, we'll get to Mishnah in a few minutes. The top Mishnah, Mishahavach Ezeisav, a person had Ezeisim, which were about to go and spoil. And what happened was, it's now Chol HaMoed. What is he allowed to do? Says the Tanakam, he's only allowed to put on the Kora Rishon. He's taking the Ezeisim too, or the Ezeisim already present in the Aleph press. And it's a very pressing situation, because if he doesn't press these olives now, they're going to go bad and they're going to spoil. So the Behuda, the only heter you have is to put on the Kol Rishon. That means that first squeezing, the first pressing,
the high quality,
but don't do the second and the third stages. Just leave the Kol on top, and after the interview, pull it off, and then you'll do some more pressing. But Rabbi Yossi said, no, you can go and do it like you normally do it throughout the year. And the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yehuda says that even though we need this capital asset, and it's going to spoil, and it's going to get ruined, but you have to do it b'derech shinui, not the normal way, right? We keep on saying b'derech hedit. But Rabbi Yossi said, no, you can do it like normal, no shinui, just go ahead and press the olives, because it's a pressing situation. So that being the case, the Gemara says it's a distinction between our Mishnah here and the Mishnah that we were quoting before about Yochanan Kohen Gadol. This is really the same machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. Yomar, back to Argumai, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Man Tana Shini B'Moyed B'Dovra HaOved. Anytime you find a Mishnah that says when it comes a Dovra HaOved, you're losing a capital asset, you have to make a Shinoi. That's the link of Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yosi says, once you're talking about a Melechus Dovra HaOved, you can do it normally. You don't have to go and do it in any strange or funny way. According to whom are we madle today? Kabusa the dasha. What's meant? Kabusa the dasha. So it's the first wide line of the Rashi, all the way in the bottom. First wide line. Command madlino in the kabusa the dasha. Kishi yoitzin masmedim shel eitz min hakodesh ala pesach. You have on top of the doorway. What do you have? You have a koyder. Koyder is the lintel. And what is coming out? Nails are coming out, not metal nails that we're familiar with. These are wooden nails. Did you ever hear of wooden nails?
Yes.
Now you heard it. Yeah, you've seen wooden nails? I've seen pegs.
It's like a peg.
Okay, it's like a peg. Shai, no, later. So we're talking about wooden pegs. Great. Thank you, Brother Shai, for helping us out under these difficult circumstances. Anyway, so when he sees that happening, Shari Lamebed Beloy Shina, you're allowed to go and fix it even without any Shina. So getting back to our Gemara, Omer Adina Kaman Madino in the Kabusa the Dasha Bechol the Biada, when we see people that are fixing that lintel over the door, when the wooden pegs and wooden nails are coming out, and Chol HaMoed, Kaman Kerebeis, Rabbi Yossi says you can fix it normally, you don't have to go and do any Shinoyim, just go ahead and do it. When the Gemara refers to the Kabusa the Dasha, in the Mishnah we had the word Koira. Koira normally means a beam, but in this connection it means the lintel over the door. And Rashi uses a French term, which I assume is also a German term. If you look at Rashi right next to the first wide line of the Gemara, Rashi says, Hakoira, Mash'ala Pesach, which is on top of the door, she'atachse b'yadelis, that the door slams against or hits against, the koyrin uber tur. Uber is from a Russian over, tur is a door. Over the door, you have that lintel. That's open. What you're allowed to go fix. Sorry?
Open.
The opening. It's opening the door on top. Yeah. Okay, good.
Where is it, Rashi?
It's here in Masechta's Moed Kod.
I know. So where?
It's parallel to the...
Oh, I see. I was looking down. I'm sorry. First wide lines, I'm looking...
The first wide line. That's
okay. The upper. Majah Pesach.
Back up there. Can you imagine?
Uber tur. Okay.
Uber tur.
Right. But opposite the Mishnah. Opposite the Mishnah, Shai.
Yeah. Over tur.
Not overture. Overture. It's a good overture. Yeah. Good. And we continue on. Zokti Maravaita, Zokti Mara. Yeah. Now we're up to the pressing of the fish and the pickling. Kivoshim Shu Yochel Bechel, but Moyed Koifsh, Zokti Mara. Bedisa Liboi Kavli. This is a little bit cryptic. Actually, Bedisa is the name of a river, the Bedisa River. Liboi is the name of a place. Kavli are fish. Okay. So river, place, fish. What does that mean? Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, they wanted it to be fish for Yontif. And what did they do? They went and they drained this Nohar over land. Apparently there was some sort of dam there. They took the dam away, the stopper away. All the water from the river drained onto the land. And guess what came with the water? Came fish. And now you have land that is full of fish. Yishmak givalik. So what do you think happened? So everybody went to chab fish. Ozu kuliyama tsoid aisu kavra. Everybody went to the land. They heard that there's fish available. They went there and they caught some fish and they took it home. Now, some of the people took quite a large quantity home. So much that they couldn't possibly finish it all on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov. So what do you do now? You have so much fish. Make a filter fish. Good. Isharulu Rava, so Rava permitted them lemimlach minayu to go and salt them. To go and preserve them so that they would stay for another week or two or month or two or whatever.
It's really double about that, really. I mean, you don't salt it.
If you wait till the Gemara's teretz and you see that that's what the Gemara answers. But before we get to the answer, we have to ask the question. And the question is, Omalei Abaye, what's not? Didn't say in a Mishnah, Kivashu Chiyachu Lechem Mehem B'moyed, Koyvshan, only those things that you can go and eat on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov, but not to go and salt it and put it away. Since when they originally caught the fish and or since when they originally let the water out and drain onto the land was for purpose of eating it now. And if you're going to say, well, I can only eat five fish from now until the end of Yom Tov, and there are eight fish over there. What am I going to do with the other three? You know what's going to happen? Pazdi. It's going to just go bad. It's going to spoil. This is the teretz that you gave a minute ago. Yes. So there was a dover of it, because otherwise the fish is going to spoil. So you're allowed to preserve it. No promises. The Ikadiyami, others had a second version. Sharulu Rova, Meitzad Mezel. The Rashash says we should switch around the words. Mezel, Meitzad, Mezel to go, Meitzad and to capture. Aisui Umimla. In other words, this wasn't a situation where after the fact people came to Rova and said, oh, yeah, I have too much fish. What should I do? Rova says, it's okay, you can go and sort it. Rova told the Chabchila, you can take as many as you can. Go and chab 10, 20, 50 fish and go and be molech them and go and sort them. It says you should only go and pickle and preserve those things that you needed for Chol HaMoed and for Yom Tov, but not something for later on. Every one of the fish that you are preserving by salting, you could theoretically eat during Chol HaMoed and during Yom Tov, agav itzitza. What it means, itzitza, Rashi says itzitza means if you wash it very, very well, you can get the salt out of it and you can still eat it today. So even though, yes, your intentions are to preserve it, but it doesn't mean that you cannot eat it now. Since there's a possibility of eating it now on Chol HaMoed and on Yom Tov, then you're allowed to go and preserve them, even if it means that it's going to hold until after Yom Tov. Ki hod Shmuel, Fishmul, they made this type of fish that had been salted. Shitin itzi, says Rashi, means that they roichtsin oise harba pamim. It sounds like that they went and they rinsed it 60 times. 60, of course, is a guzma. The Gemara often uses the term 60 as an exaggeration. So it wasn't 60 times, only 59 times, maybe only 58 and a half. But you get the point that Shmuel said it's permissible. And that's why That's why this was permitted. Rova ikla lebe reish kalusa. Rova came to reish kalusa's house. Avdele shita mitzitzi. Same type of situation. V'ochal, and he ate it after they rinsed it very thoroughly. Rav ikla lebe rav shapir. Rav visited the home of Rav Shapir. Aisla kamay, they brought before him. Ho kavra, tiltza bishula, tiltza milcha, betiltza tavia. This fish that was a third boiled, a third was roasted or fried, and one third was originally nimlach. It was originally
salted.
Salted, and apparently salted very, very well, and they rinsed it off, this itza thing, to go and make it edible. So you see that you can go and eat preserved fish that you salted very heavily. So now from here to the end of the perek, we're going to talk about fish having nothing to do with chol hamoed, but rather general hilchos fish in a sense. Omer Rav said, Rav, Omer li Ada Tzayda. Ada was his name. He was a Tzayda. He was a capturer. What did he capture? He used to catch fish. The fish catcher. So he would tell him, Kavra samach l'misrachei. A fish shortly before it's ready to get spoiled, then mali, then it happens to, it's still good. Or mali, it's not only good, but it's even better than fresh fish. In other words, fresh fish is fresh. However, if you go and get fish shortly before it's about to spoil, then that fish, okay, that's what I was afraid of. And before we need to okay, so you will write Aleph and Aleph. Okay. Memory for me, can't use it at all?
I'm not going to waste your time.
It's not my time. What about the time of Ariel and Bill and Brother Shai? Nobody.
I'm not going to waste time.
I saw that with the light on and off.
It has over.
What happened? The battery is off?
No. The storage is...
It says memory full.
Oh, saturated.
Saturated. Okay. Wow. Okay, so we'll continue on?
Yeah.
I was hoping that we at least get to the end of the
Omer.
We were fishing. Okay. So fishing with an F or with a PH. Okay.
Digital view.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Okay. Let's go. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're on the bottom of Yud Aleph Omer Aleph, five lines from the bottom, where Rav is telling us about what Ada Tzayda, that's Ada, the fishmonger, the fish catcher, things that he told them regarding fish. Says the Gemara, Kavra samach l'misrachei, fish shortly before it's about to spoil, ma'alu. Then is when it's really, really gishmak, then it's really, really healthy. Rashi says, yofahu l'achar zman shenitzid, yoytze mehish shatad nitzid. It is better at that time. We say better, presumably we don't mean in taste, but we mean in terms of nourishment, in terms of quality. It's better shortly before it's spoiled than if you have fresh fish. Now, many of you are going to say, that just doesn't sound right. When it starts getting ready to spoil, most people would say, stay away. There could be botulism. There could be food poisoning. This is not our kasha. This already toisvis asks kasha. You see the toisvis at the top of the amid. Ubizmanas there. Today, says toisvis, toivsim sakona lemechel samach lesirchayim. In our circle, people consider that to be asakana. Stay away. You can get chas v'shalom food poisoning. And he brings it right from somewhere else. Skip a line. V'shema nishtanu kimoi harufui shebishas she'enin toivois pizman has. So what Toisus is telling us is that throughout Shas, from time to time, you get half an umr or an umr that tells you about things which are healthy for refua, good foods, or particular medicines. And the Rishonim already have said that you cannot rely on any of those today because the teva, the nature of a person's constitution and his infrastructure have changed over the years. And so therefore, whatever you see refuas in Shas doesn't necessarily mean that it still applies today. And this is brought all over in Rishonim, not just his crisis. So he's saying the same thing applies over here. Don't automatically assume that because that's what the Gemara said, and that's what Ada Tzayda said, that still applies today. And here you can look at the rest of the choices too. It brings at the end that there may be differences between one fish and the other in different regions, in different different rivers. Anyway, back to our Gemara. The Omerat, four lines from the bottom. Omeli Adat Saida. I'm sorry, what would you like to add?
The Omer Shono Shadav.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's saying is that not all fish are created equal. Well, the shoinos might mean the fish fish tongue, basically. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, Omri I decided that kavra tavia ba'achva asukib avua mechli bebrei ishti ale avua. Now, this is somewhat poetic. What it's telling us is that both the fish and the salt both have the same common parents, if you will. What is the common parent? That is the water, the ocean, because both the fish grow in the ocean and the melach grows, it's created in the water. And so therefore, you can look upon the fish and the melach as if they are brother and sister or two brothers or what have you. So using that type of poetic license, says the Gemara, Amli Aydin Saida, Kavra Tavya Ba'achua, or Ba'achva. If you want to go and roast or fry your fish, do it Ba'achva, do it with salt. That being the brother of the fish. Yes, sure you'd like to contribute something.
Yeah, isn't the father, the water, the father?
The water is the father. And here we're talking about the brother. And
salt, right. The salt is the brother.
The brother is, the salt is the brother. And the reason is because the salt is...
But it's not the brother of the water. It's the son of the water.
When you want to go and cook water, you don't have to add salt to it. But if you're cooking... Exactly. As long as we understand each other. But if you're cooking fish by roasting it or frying it, you should add some salt to it. And that presumably makes it more gishmak. Right? Continuing on. Asuke bavur. After you've cooked it, then you can go and put it into water, cold water, to cool it off for whatever reason. Bavua, again, here means the father. The father being the water. Mechle, when you want to eat the fish, eat it bebrei with its son. What's its son? Says Rashi, that's the tzir. Tzir is fish yoach, which is fish sauce. That's the derivative of the fish. So that's gishmak to go and eat the fish with its sauce. And after you finish, ishti alei avua, then go and drink from its father, again, drinking from the water after eating the fish. And the Gemara is going to talk about drinking the water and a little bit more in another line. The Adetzayt also told me, kav, fish, tachli is cress, v'chalve, and milk, litoin gufa, v'le litoin puria. After you finish eating one of those three, after that, a person should go for a walk and do some exercise, as opposed to going straight to bed. It's not healthy to go to bed after eating those three items. The omerav omli adetzayda kavra tachli v'chalva. After you eat one of those three, you eat either the fish or the cress or drink the milk or eat some milchiks. Maya. After that, if you want to go and wash it all down, take water v'le shichra and not beer. Shichra and beer v'le chamra and not wine. So the best would be water. Second best would be beer. Third best would be wine. Hadlach mashke mesachlochen. Hadlach mesachlochen. And we continue on to the new parag. Very good. But remember, Toysi says this might not apply in our class. It's up there.
Everybody has so the red wine with fish.
White wine with fish. Red wine with fish.
White wine. Okay. Toysi says Toysi says Zakana. Therefore, these things may have changed over time.
This fish story could make a great children's book.
Okay. Exactly. And those who disagree feel that the whole thing is quite fishy, and therefore we're going to continue on.
But also certain people custom not to, Lubavitch in particular, not to have fish with milk. Not to cook it together.
Yeah, that's a pretty common thing.
I'm aware.
But it's not just Lubavitch in many places.
But here you see they haven't said they have it.
They didn't say that they ate it together. These are three separate things.
Fish and grass, they're competing things.
They're competing. They're parallels. They're not
what's the thought about not having fish and milk?
Look at the Mishnah. Okay. The person who has zaysim and he wants to go and press them and press out the olive oil. How did they do it? So in the good old days, they used to go and first put them in a vat and let them sit. And after they sat for a while, they softened up. And then you would turn them over on the other side. They would soften up further. And then you would go and squeeze out the oil or the juice from those zaysim. Leaving them in the vat initially, you can leave them for a long time. However, once you turn them over, then you got to go and press them shortly thereafter. I don't know whether shortly thereafter means the same day or the next day, but you can't go and dilly-dally and wait, because otherwise the whole thing is going to spoil. So this person in our Mishnah was faced with one of three potential problems. First problem was he was mahapach hazeisav, and therefore his intention was 3 hours later or the next morning or whatever to go and put them into the press and kvetch out, get out of the oil. V'iru Eivel and Rachman Litzlan, a very close family member, passed away, and now he's baveis. And an ovel is not supposed to do melacha. Oinus. So Rashi quickly points out that the first case of the avelis is talking about any time during the year, nothing to do with Chol HaMoed. In the middle of Shvat, Rachman Litzlan, he lost Nebuch a relative, and so therefore he cannot go and be mahapach l'zeisim. This is a major, major loss if he can't turn them over. Oinus. There was another type of oinus. Now, says Rashi, we're back to Chol HaMoed. Some other oinus that he wasn't able to get to it until Chol HaMoed, and now Chol HaMoed, he turned it over, and boom, he cannot do anything, and it's now Chol HaMoed. He wants to turn it over. Otherwise, it's going to be a terrible, terrible loss. Oishu T'u P'yalim. The P'yalim said they're all going to come, presumably on Erev Yom Tov, to do it, and they didn't come. And now it's Chol HaMoed. Oh, those workers are terrible. And unfortunately, everything's going to spoil. It says the Mishnah, Toyin Koyin Rishonim, Menichah Li'achra Moed Div Reb Yehuda. So Reb Yehuda gives an Eitzah for the latter two cases. The case of the Oinus, that for some reason he wasn't able to do it before Yom Tov, and now it's Chol HaMoed. Or that the Bialim didn't show up before Yom Tov, and now it's Chol HaMoed. So he's not allowed to do a full pressing like you normally would do. He's allowed to go and put on that first Koyra, leave it there, and after Yom Tov is over, he'll continue doing the second pressing. He'll pick it up, he'll put it down, he'll mix it, he'll push it, he'll do whatever you need to process Aleph Oy. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Yosi Oymer, Zoylif V'goymer V'gof Kedark. Rashi apparently is not going to use the word gof because it doesn't seem to really fit him. It's Zoylif V'goymer Kedark. Zoylif means, says Rashi, Zoylif is like the word shoyfech, that to go and let it pour, and the goyimer, and finish it off kedarka like normal. In other words, don't do half measures and just put on the first kaira. If you have this problem, Chol HaMoed, the oinus or the hitu p'yalim, you're allowed to go and do it until yet. And that's all we had back in the Omer Aleph, that Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree that you need to do a shinoi b'meleches dovra oved on Chol HaMoed. That's what we had said at the bottom of the Omer Aleph. Anyway, the Gemara is puzzled. Why? Because we started off the Mishnah that if a person becomes an ovel, chas v'sholom, he's baveilus. Or this mother oinus, or the pialim didn't arrive, and now it's Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do it in Chol HaMoed. What about the aveilus guy? Whatever happened to him, he kind of stopped in the middle of the sentence. He becomes an ovel. What do you do? I'll let you know. And then we talk about a person has an oinus before Yom Tov, and he has the pialim didn't show up before Yom Tov, and he can do it in Chol HaMoed. Mitashine, unashine, avuvusim et the ovel. So you want to pass the over the seam the moid. Rav Shisha Barei Dav Idi. So you said, Mary is born on the Torah, but moid asur me may evlay. Oh, Rav Shisha Barei Dav Idi. That's the point of the Mishnah. That vis-a-vis the ovel, he's not allowed to do anything. And therefore he is stuck. And if he's going to lose all of these zeisim, we feel sorry for him, but there's nothing he can do. The Gemara afterwards will say, instead of him doing it, have other people do it on his behalf. That's okay. But the ovel themselves cannot push, pull, touch, do anything involving melacha. He is ba'aveilus. And therefore, our Mishnah doesn't give an eitz. But the oidus, there is an eitz. According to Yehuda, at least put the koyr in shoyna. According to Yehuda, you're allowed to finish it off altogether. So that's Rav Shisha Barei Avidi. Rav Ashi Omer, fakert, loy mi boyik Omer, just the opposite. Loy mi boyik, may evlo dimet abanun hu b'shari, el afil b'moydis melacha m'der eisa. The Mishnah is telling us just the opposite rule. Aveilus is only Drabbana. First day is Oinen, but that you have to sit Shiva is Drabbana. And so therefore, Oinen is Taka Diraisa, but not the Aveilus throughout the rest of Chol HaMoed, or throughout Yom Tov, or throughout the whole year. We're not talking about Chol HaMoed, Aveilus in general. So therefore, not only you may have Velas, which is Rabbanan, and therefore it's Mutter. Even on Chol HaMoed, this Malach Mederaisa. We had this the first Rashi in the Masechta, that the Isser to do work on Chol HaMoed is Min HaTorah. Rashi repeats it here, and he brings a Pasuk. These are psukim from which are brought in the Moran Chagig on Daf Yud Ches, that it's Diraisa. But Mokim say the Shor Rabbanim. How can the Rabbanim be matter something which is an Issa Diraisa? You remember the Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed over the rules and regulations regarding Chol HaMoed to the Rabbanim, that they should make the appropriate takonis regarding Melechus Dabra Aved and Tirchi Yaseira, what's permitted, what's not permitted. So since the origins, the source of the Issa Chol HaMoed is Diraisa, Makam Seda Shara Bandarban said, where it's a Pseida, big, big absent, it's mut. So therefore, understanding our Mishnah now is Mishavakhazeviru Ovel, the person become an Ovel, then Avadi is allowed to go and save his Zaysim from financial ruin. No problem. But even an Oinis or Shitupi Alam, which is a Din Diraisa, which I might think, oh, we have to be more careful. You do have to be more careful, but the Mishnah says, I do have an Eitzah, even a Chol HaMoed, Kairi Shaina, couldn't be Yehuda, and couldn't be Oisi. Tanya was a Pshisha Ravidi, I'm going to bring a to Pshisha Ravidi that an Ovel is prohibited. Ah, this is a Braisa that says not that the Ovel himself should do it. The Ovel should sit Shiva. But these are things that Ho'oisen Li Ovel, that you can go and hire workers to work on behalf of the Ovel Bimei Evel. What are those? Say so Hafuchen, Tian and Loi. That's our Mishnah, and that's what, how Rav Shisha Bar Eider of Idi is learning our Mishnah. He himself, the Ovel, is not allowed to do the work. That's why the Bryce said, but you're allowed to go and bring in workers and hire them to go and do the work on his behalf. Vikadoi Logov. Logov is from the Russian of Megupa. Megupa means a seal over a barrel. So the person, the Ovel, would like to go and seal his barrel to protect it, number one, both for quality reasons and for kashrus reasons. However, he can't do it because he's novel, so you hire workers to do it on his behalf. And the same thing, Bishtam Lahalis Menha Mishra. Mishra is where you have the flax soaking initially to get out the fibers and to make it into linen and things of that nature. It's great to leave it in the Mishra, but you can't leave it too long. If you leave it too long, right, the whole thing will plot and will rot and will spoil and all the rest. So when it comes time that you have to be mounted in a Mishra, the oval can't do it, you can hire other people. Vitzim Lahalis Menha Yoira. You put in the wall, in the wool, inside the yoira, a pot where there is dye, which is dyeing the wool. And if you leave it any longer, then the whole wool will be dead. And therefore, you have to go and bring some lifesavers to save the wool from the dye. And he can't do it himself, but you hire some people to do it. When the time of that this particular field needs water, apparently it's the type of field that you need to irrigate, and now it's Chol HaMoed, it's the base of Shlochim that we had at the beginning of the Masechta, that you're allowed to go and give water, you're allowed to irrigate a field, the base of Shlochim, because it needs that irrigation. Here we're not talking about Chol HaMoed, here we're talking about an Ovel. Ovel, normally that day, he would put up the sprinkler and he would put the water in. Or Rashi says, the Oinus HaMayim Shalei could also mean, the Gemara brings elsewhere, that in certain communities, they had a bunch of fields, one next to each other, and they had a water canal or irrigation ditch that would go and run from up down or down up or whatever throughout all those fields. And people could not use them all on the same day because there wasn't enough water in that canal. So instead, Yanko would use on Sunday and Bear would use on Monday and Shmuel would use on Tuesday and Reuven on Wednesday. Everybody had their particular day. So Nebuch the Ovel, that's his day. It's Monday, and Nebuch, he can't go and water it. So hire other people to go and water his field on that day. Rabbi Yehuda is even more aggressive. And he says that if the Ovel had plowed out his field, and today was the day he was going to seed his field, you know what? He can't do it, but go and hire other people to go and seed the field today, since otherwise, he's going to miss the season. Or a particular field which he hoped to grow pishtan flax. If you don't do it today, oh, he's going to miss his opportunity because this is the season for planting the pishtan. Apparently, every day is very, very crucial. As Omru Lois and Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't go so far as allowing for this type of planting because if he misses the opportunity for now planting in this season, okay, he'll do the next season. It's not the end of the world. After all, plant the fields have to lie fallow anyway, often between one season and the other, you have to give them a chance to rejuvenate and to reinvigorate, etc. So you won't plant now, you'll plant it a month from now, whenever the next crop season is, the next planting season. And which is our pishtan, it is our minacher. If you missed the occasion, the opportunity to go and plant pishtan, so you'll plant something else. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer Zeisav Hafuchim, the Insham Uman Elohu, Kadu Logo for Insham Uman Elohu, Fishtan Lahalis Menam Mishra, Vitim Lahalis Menam Yoid of Insham Uman Elohu, Harize Yasubitim. So Rav Shimon Gamliel goes one step further than the Tanakama. The Tanakama only allowed you to go and hire outside workers because the Ovel cannot do any work. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if he is the only game in town, he's allowed to go and do it. There's nobody else that understands how you're supposed to go and put them into the press and to go and press out the olives to go and get out the oil. You can't just go and take anybody and say, okay, go into the press and put it. You need an Uman if he's the only guy. Or Kadu Logo, if he's the only one that knows how to go and put a professional seal on top of the barrel. Leitcham Elohu. Pishtan Elohu is Menemisha to go and take it out from where it was soaking. Or the Temer, which was soaking inside the dye. Leitcham Elohu. Arizayasi, but then he can do it, but he should not do it in public. He should do it privately so that people shouldn't think about him poorly. Look at this fellow. He's violating the Avdelis after his father, after his mother, whatever. So if he does it quietly, but Zina, people won't know about it. This is mutter mitzad din Rav Shimon Gamliel because it's a huge loss. And we're talking about a dirabanan. So mitzad ikra din, it's mutter. But we don't want people to go and say, but it's violent. Oh, how could it be? I know Ariel's going to be upset because of Marisayin. He already asked this last week. But anyway, you have to be done. Anyway, there's certain things they said, do it Zina, so it shouldn't become a public spectacle. Yes, okay, Amram Shim Gamil, and Hoya Uman Larabin, the Sapper Ubalan Larabin, the Gia Esa Regal, the ancient woman of who, Harry Zayas. But the Gemara now is introducing even a new concept, and that is yes, this person is an Ovel, and yes, he should be sitting at home, Shiva. However, there's also the Tzayra Harabin, and he is the only game in town, so then we need his services for the Rabbin. So, for instance, he is the only barber in town. He's a sapper, or he's a balan. Balan means the person that is in charge of the Beis HaMerchitz and the mikvah. He's the only one that has the keys, and he's the only one that has the towels, and he's the only one that knows how to turn on the hot water and to put in the fire to make it hot, and he's the only one that collects the dues. You need him. He's the only guy that really knows what's going on. The gear is regular, now it's Yom Tov time, and everybody has to take haircuts, and everybody has to go to the Beis Merkel, they have to go to the mikveh. And he's the only one. I say, yes, then he's allowed to do it, even in public. It has to be in public, because you can't go and be the balan of a major Beis Merkel and a mikveh and sit in the corner. You could sit in the corner, but everybody knows he's busy giving the towels and the keys and opening it up. And
does he sit Shiva, as it were, while he's doing this? While he's doing it, is he still in Avelos, or is Avelos suspended?
No, I assume he does the best that he can.
I mean, so does he accept?
He says no visitors during this time.
Yes, he can be Nachum Ovel.
Exactly.
He could only. Yes. He could only. Yeah. He could only shiver in the cold water of the mikveh.
They shiver in the cold water of the mikveh. And, you know, this is a very grave situation when never somebody passed away. It's very distressing, and those types of comments can also be a little, okay, continue on.
Okay.
Zoki Moravaita. Thank you, Shelly, for adding a little humor to lighten up. Thank you.
Right. It was anyway, posthumous.
Posthumous. Oh, no. Shkoyach. Maite. Who are recent v'hachakim v'hakablonim? Hari elu yasu achirim bishvilat. What happens if a person is an oris, a choiker, or a kablon? All three of those involve people working in the fields, but they are under different financial arrangements. An oris is a sharecropper where either he gets paid or the owner gets paid lemechza lishlish lerevia, a percentage. They split up all of the income from that field, 20, a quarter, a half, a third, whatever the arrangement is between the owner and between the oris. Chakiran means that he takes upon himself to supply rental, but the rental is not in money, but in, let's say, bushels of wheat. He is working the field, a wheat field, and he says, I'm going to pay you, the owner, at the end of the year, 50 bushels of wheat, and the rest I keep for myself. So depending on the year, sometimes this could be a very, very good financial arrangement, and sometimes it could be very poor. So the Rashi explains, and the Meforshim explain, and explaining the Rashi, that the din of a choiker is, let's assume we spoke about 50 bushels of wheat. If this property makes 75 bushels and keeps 25 for himself, he did very well. What happens to whoever the property only makes 50? He hands over all the 50 to the balibas, and he made nothing for all of his efforts. However, if the property only produced 40 bushels, he doesn't have to give more than that. He doesn't have to lay out money from his own pocket. He only has to go and give from the produce of this field. So some years this could be very profitable, and some years otherwise. Back up, Lund. Yes, I'm sorry?
Like a hedge fund.
Okay, like any stock.
He could hedge too.
Yeah, I guess so. And then the Shelley's going to say that maybe there were hedges around the field. Good. Anyway, Vahakablanin. What is Kablan? Kablan is much more of a normal situation where he gets paid a certain wage, whether or not the field produces a huge amount of bushels or whether it's only a modest amount, he gets his wage for doing the work in the field.
Kablan also?
Kablan has a number of different interpretations depending on the context. You can have a contractor as a Kablan. He contracts to go and the general contractor, we're going to build all of this and we're going to, I'm going to hire for you subcontractors. That's today in Eretz Yisrael Kablan. We're going to have the term used further in the Gemara as well. So it has a number of different interpretations depending on the context. Anyway, all of these guys, if they become avelim, then they should try to get others to go and replace them, substitute them on the days that they are unavailable. Now these are the chamorin, are the ezel drivers. That's a donkey driver. Gamolin is a camel driver. Sapanim is the sailor, the person who sailing the ship, Svina. Captain of the ship. They should not do the work. In other words, these people are up for hire. If they have not been previously hired prior to the avelis, then they should put up the sign, like Brother Shai said before, unavailable for the next 7 days. I can't take any work. However, what happens if they were already hired and they're supposed to ship and start sailing on Monday morning, or he's going to go and drive the freight on his camel or on his chamor, on his donkey starting Monday. And then Monday he becomes an avel or elias, and then they have to go and work for the person because they contracted. It's one thing that you yourself constrain your activities and limit your activities because you're avelis, but you don't want to adversely affect others. And that's why we had the Gemara before. If you can go and get others, let the others do it for you. And if there are no others, says Rav Shem Gamliel, then you do it yourself. Do it b'tzina, and those things you're doing for Tzorach HaRabim, that you can even do for Hesia. So you do the best that you can, but you don't want to hurt other people. Schir Yoim, afilu be'ir achiris liyaser. If you have a Schir Yoim, this is a person that's just hired for the day, and Nebuch, in the middle of the day, he hears that Nebuch, a close relative, passed away. He can say, I'm stopping, I'm not going to continue. The reason for that, says Rashi, is because back in the Bovis, where they deal with these things, it says that an Uman can be chozer afilu b'emtza hayom. And that's the rule, that if you only hired him just for one day, he can say in the middle of the day, the work is too hard for me, I'm homesick, I can't do it, and just leave. And he's not responsible to finish off the rest of the day, because that's assumed in the contract that you can go and renege, if you will, rescind.
Labor rights.
Up to in the middle of that. So therefore, Nebuch, this Ovel is not doing it because he wants his rights. He's doing it because Nebuch had Bavelis, so therefore he can stop in the middle of the day. So what's the reason why the Gemara says that Philip be Iracheres? Rashi says, Iracheres, so kadaitach, that he could continue doing the work and we shouldn't let him go because nobody knows him in that other Iracheres. It's like a real tzina situation. Nobody knows that he's an avil. Nobody will think poorly of him that he's not sitting by list. Let him continue. No, afilu b'iracheres, even though nobody knows, he should rather go home and sit by list and not continue to work. So afilu b'iracheres liyas. Hoisim melechas chen b'yodah. What happens if he has melechas chen b'yodah? In other words, things that he took home. For instance, he's a tailor and he's going to go and sew somebody's garment to do something at home. Even though it's b'kibbutz. Kibbutz means that there is no time element, but rather whenever you're ready within a reasonable period of time. So I can't hold you to finishing it by January 1st or February 1st, but within the next month, you're going to have to finish it. Lo yasa, he shouldn't go and do it because he has more time after the avelis is over. But the Gemara is bothered by this expression, afopi. See, again, the word kablan over here, Bill, the kiboilis and kablan are from the same shoresh. Adram kiboilis kididei dami, by the fact that it is kiboilis, meaning that he can do it at his leisure whenever he has time, so then it's as if it's his own, then for sure that would be a cause not to do it the May Avelis, because during the Avelis he's busy, not busy with doing work, he's busy never with his Shiva, and after that he'll do it. So it's not Alpha P should be kiboilis, but rather because it should be kiboilis, lo yaseh. It really makes no difference whether or not there are time constraints and not time constraints. If it's work that he has at home that somebody gave him to go knit something, to go fix something, he should wait until after he's done.
Not, the person's not an hourly or daily worker,
mm-hmm.
then they can take as long as they want almost, okay? So they're not obligated
exactly.
to do it during that time.
That's
exactly.
the idea.
That's the idea. What happens if it's the other way around? Malach de biyadachedim, that he has stuff that in other people's hands. The beisoy lo yasu, the beis acher yasu. So then, that malacha that he has biyadachedim in his house, they shouldn't do that work. In other words, he hired someone to come to his house, to paint in his house, to go and fix something in his house. They shouldn't do that during Cholamoy period, during the Avelis period. Why? Because people will suspect that he is assisting the worker that came to his house to go and fix it, to paint it, to fix the faucet, to fix the electricity, whatever. So in those cases, lo yasu. The Baisacher, however, the person is doing the work on his behalf in his own house, not at the Ovel's house, then yes, and then that's okay because nothing to do with the Ovel. The Ovel is sitting in his house. And somebody is working for him outside, you know, doing something else in his own house, having nothing to do with him. So that's perfectly fine. Now, the Gemara tells us a story over here about Merioin and Mar Berei Ravacha, who were partners to the extent that each one of them owned one cow or one ox. And those two cows or oxen were hired out to use in fields for their own fields as well as other fields to go and do plowing and similar type of work. So Merion Berei Derav, Umar Berei Derav Acha, Berei Derav, Havalahu, they had, Hahu Gamla, the word Gamla over here does not mean camel, but really means a pair, the Tura of oxen, Bahadi Adodi, which were bound together with a common yoke, and Isra Bei Milza Bamar Berei Derav Acha, Berei Derav. The word Isra Bei Milza literally means that something bad happened, but that's a euphemistic term that typically means that a close relative passed away. And Nebuch now, Mar Berei Ravacha, Berei Ravacha, Nebuch is the Avedus. Upaski the Gamli. And therefore he said, let's go and cut that yoke that joins our two oxen, so that my ox should not be hired during the period of my Avedus, because I'm not supposed to do anything that, any type of business. And even that, my rent-a-cow business, rent an ox, I'm going to go and get money. So I want to cease and desist. And that's why he pulled his ox away. So Omer Rashi says, Gav Rav Gemar Berei Ravacha, Ovid Hachi, such a great man, did something like that. Okay, he's not worried about the fact that he's going to have a loss over the next few days because nobody will rent his ox for a week. But Acherim Lechayish, isn't he worried about Merion? Merion is going to have now a loss because he can only hire the two together, and Merion's going to have to find another partner. Apparently, that's not so simple. And therefore, what time didn't we learn him? So therefore, he should allow his ox to go and participate together with Marion's ox. What's going on over here? Yes, you're a normal, regular individual. You're right. He theoretically could have left it there, and Marion could have used both oxen, and he could have hired them out, and he could have used them, because it's Hefsel Dachir. But since he himself, Mar Berei Dervacha, he was considered to be, like the Gemara said, a Gavra Rabba, a very chashiv person. If people hear that his ox is not being gored, but is being used for plowing in the field, people will misunderstand, and people are going to say, whoa, such a chashiv, he is allowing his oxen to go into work. They don't realize it's because it's together with Merion's, and it's going to cause a hefset to Merion. So therefore, he figured to be totally free from any suspicion, and everybody should say, yeah. Therefore, that's why he terminated or suspended his relationship with Marion for the period of the Shiva, and then presumably after that, they came back together.
And they wouldn't understand the yoke.
They wouldn't understand. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Shkoya, Shelly, today you're cooking with cats. Thank you.
It's not Cholamoid. It's okay.
That's okay. And Brother Shai adds to your yolk joke that we were talking about fish yolk before. Fish sauce. Was that for Kripstein? Are you having the bris tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, Professor Shai Hashem.
Do we have a destination yet? Do we know the location, or that's still up in the air?
It's on Yafo, 210 Yafo.
Yafo is a good place. It's a very nice place. Yafe. Oh, Yafo.
They say Yafo here, whatever.
Yafo Ma'ot. Okay. Anyway, be well. Okay. Good to see both of you. Have a great
Beautiful.
Day. Have a good day.